guests and callers and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle. Views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
When the red, red robin comes bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Martha Norwalk and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And woohoo! What a gorgeous Sunday morning it is. And speaking of gorgeous, well, he's gorgeously coiffed today. Brand new, fresh haircut. That would be Animal World's production engineer Gary Hill is here. Good morning, Gary.
Morning.
You look, yeah, all spiffy with you. You just got your haircut, didn't you?
I did.
Uh-huh.
On Friday. Yeah.
Mr. Perfect Hair.
Yeah, I have to be ready for the Sunday show, you know.
A little scruffy around the facial areas, though.
It's the weekend.
Are you growing a beard?
No. Just lazy.
Just lazy. I see. Okay.
Laziness reigns supreme.
All right, and we should let the folks know right away today we are preempted the last 15 minutes of the show today. We will be out at 11:45 today, and that's Gary's fault.
Yes.
Yes, because
that is my fault.
Gary's leaving here, 15 minutes before that. Gary will leave before our show, before Animal World ends, and Mike is coming in to fill his chair to finish our show, because Gary has got to lead-footed over to, Husky Ballpark, baseball park?
Yeah.
Over in my neighborhood.
He'd be driving really fast.
Yeah? Yeah, and because you need to get there because it's Husky men's baseball today.
Yeah.
And we can definitely say there's no danger of you getting rained out today.
Oh,
and let's bring Sandy in on this conversation. Animal World's co-producer, call screener Sandy Gaston is here. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Now, is this the most beautiful morning to drive into the station that we've had for a very long time, or what?
It was absolutely scrumptious.
And it still is.
Oh.
I don't remember the last time I saw Mount Rainier driving across Lake Washington.
I agree.
And it's out there. It's like, it's still there. It's like, whoa.
It's beautiful.
At those Olympics and all that snow on the Olympics. And we can see everything. There's not a cloud in the sky.
No, it's absolutely gorgeous. And it's going to be 68, maybe even 70 today.
Woohoo. Well, no need to rush out and get busy working. Just hang where you are. Listen to Animal
World.
That's
right. Have some coffee or tea.
Yeah.
We've really paid our dues for this, too.
Yeah, we have.
Well, now, does anybody want to lay money down that winter is over and there's going to be no snow?
No,
I didn't think so.
I don't know. It depends on if we see Gary's white legs today. He brought shorts with him.
I know.
You're putting on shorts?
I brought them. I'm thinking about it for the game today. I know. It's a big step.
I don't believe we've ever seen Gary in shorts, have we?
In
the summer.
Okay.
He wears them big kind of khaki
shorts. This time of year,
shorts.
It's pretty dicey.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, you know what? Have you shaved your legs all year?
I tend not to.
That's what I figured.
That reminds me, because I want to know what's up with mailmen. Because the mailmen in my neighborhood wear shorts like all year round.
Yeah.
I know, that's crazy.
Well, it had to be like 6 feet of snow before they put their long pants on. I don't know how they do that. I guess because they're walking a lot delivering mail, I guess they stay warm. But
they have
their
beautiful legs.
Well,
so
yeah, except they're always bright red in the winter because they're so cold. And I wonder, what's the matter with them? Why don't they put pants on? Oh, well, gosh. Maybe we should get going here with Animal World. What do you think?
And stop talking about legs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And mailmen and all of that. But anyway, we're here till 11:45 today, so if you want to call in with your animal or human medical care questions, make sure you do it early, because we're out a little bit early. And did we find out when Mystic Radio is on today? Because obviously the Huskies baseball game is on after Animal World. And now, remember, Mystic Radio is doing their live call-in show on Wednesdays right now at 1 p.m. And so this will be a rebroadcast whenever it happens today, probably later in the day. At 4 o'clock, Gary? Okay. There'll be the rebroadcast of Mystic Radio will be at 4 p.m. today. And Robin and Bob are doing their show live on Wednesdays now because of the Hood Canal bridge closure. And they're going to stay in that Wednesday time slot until that doesn't happen anymore. And eventually they'll be back with us on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Live, but for the time being, their live show is now on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. and it's a rebroadcast on Sundays. All right, now today it is woohoo! Can you believe it? The first Sunday of April.
Wow,
wow,
this year is going flying by.
Yeah. What the heck happened to March? And you know, it's like, whoa, it is the first Sunday of April, and that means it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program. Dr. Al will be joining us after the bottom of the hour. We will be, prior to Al joining us, I've got some follow, well, I've got an event happening today. I've got a Seattle Animal Shelter alert, and I have got news and good news about animals. At 10 o'clock today, we will run our Easter tip, just in case you know anybody or you're thinking about going out and getting live animals for Easter. Listen to my tip at 10 o'clock today. And then about 10:50, current events as usual, and our new Pet of the Week with Nancy McKinney, Interim Manager of King County Animal Care and Control. Now, Sandy, our prize closet, are you opening that today?
Yes, ma'am. Yummy, yummy cookies.
Well, yeah.
Crunchy.
Ooh.
For
Easter.
Just in time for Easter.
Liver treats and biscuits. I'll tell you what, absolutely the most wonderful and exciting treats for dogs that have come along in a long time.
They make my mouth water.
Yeah. Well, now, yes, Sandy's a little strange, folks. Sometimes I eat the animal stuff, too. But these liver treats are absolutely the best. Barb makes them. Doesn't she make them in her own kitchen or something?
She does. With her own two little hands.
Her own little love in her heart, and makes these liver cookies and treats, and they are phenomenal. I mean, Annie Golden goes absolutely bonkers when she even thinks about them. And they are now my favorite motivational training reward with dogs. So we will be giving away free, I want to say samples, but it's not a sample
It's a
full-size bag,
it's a full
or
size
container of the liver cookies or treats. We also, have a limited amount of those full-size containers of liver, Wagon Tails liver treats every week, but we have an unlimited supply of 10% off discounts if you would like to purchase your Wagon Tails liver treats from the Wagon Tails website. We can give you 10% off.
I just want to say to our listening audience, we have such wonderful advertisers and such wonderful products, and I love them all, but Wagon Tail Cookies and Barbara has a special place in my heart, because I think that part of the reason, except for the fact that, I mean, she uses human-grade products all the way around, but I think a really big part of the reason that her cookies are so fabulous is actually, and this might sound corny, but it's the truth, the love and care that she puts into making every one of these cookies, but with her own hands.
Yeah, and I just enjoy her. She's just a neat gal.
I think
it's probably time we need to get her back on the air again.
I agree.
For another interview, so she can tell us again how she does this. 'Cause her stuff
talk about her wonderful Willow. Yes, she has a wonderful old girl, and you know my heart's with them old ones. I love them.
Oh, yeah, those old animal friends. Yep. All right, so we'll get Barb back on sometime soon.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
And if you need to find the website, you can go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com. Hang there on the homepage. You'll find a link that comes up for Wagon Tales. Click on that, and that'll take you to their website. Now, we also have copies of Dr. Al's book, Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic. We will be giving those away today as well.
Very good read.
All right, now, and we'll open the phone lines after the bottom of the hour. All right, happening today. Happening today, April Drools adoption event. Today, Sunday, from noon to 3 p.m. at Paws Abilities in Tukwila. Their actual address, they're near South Center. The actual address is 1007 Industry Drive, Tukwila. It is the first dog adoption event of 2009. They're calling it April Drools. And let's see, I think about 9 rescue groups are participating. Barks R Us, Humane Society of Central Washington, Grant County Animal Outreach, King County Animal Care and Control, Homeward Pet Adoption, Yakima Valley Pet Rescue, Wenatchee Valley Humane Society, Yelm Animal Alliance, and the Humane Society Happy Paws Farm. So this is Positive Alliance's first adoption event of the year. So again, that's today, Sunday, noon to 3 p.m. at Paws Abilities Training Center near South Center in Tukwila. All righty. Sounds like a great event. So you can listen to Animal World and go to the event. All right, let's see. The Seattle Animal Shelter has an alert. Not surprising. They are discouraging giving live animals for Easter gifts. Well, we agree with them and have been doing that for years. And they just want you to recognize that every year, you know, people buy these animals on a whim, you know, feed and grain stores, you know, bunnies, ducklings, chicks, and apparently a ton of them end up at Seattle Animal Shelter right after Easter. So they would like their shelter not to fill up with all these little critters after Easter, because many of them have to be euthanized because there are simply not enough homes. So listen to our Easter tip at 10 o'clock today, and if you really think that you want one of these live pets for Easter, be sure you tune in next week, because we will be talking rabbits, rodents, and ferrets in the 11 o'clock hour next week. So we would love to educate you then. All right. It is time for some follow-up. And animals in the news, we'll get that out of the way so we can get that Sunday started. Let's see. I think last Sunday I had to tell y'all that the sad conclusion at the Point Defiance Zoo, that the beluga whale Canuck, who's 8 years old, died last Saturday night after a two-week illness. And this week, because last week they said they were going to do a post-mortem, this week the necropsy found no obvious cause of death, but they're hoping that tissue samples that they have sent in will shed some light on what actually killed the whale. So that's all I know at this point, is that they don't know what killed the whale. All right, another not so wonderful follow-up, but it is now official. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service filed a formal rule Wednesday to remove gray wolves from the federal endangered list in Montana and Idaho, while leaving them on the list in Wyoming. Although, now I don't have this as a news article, but I did hear from defenders of wildlife this week that there is legislation being worked on currently at the national level. Get this, Sandy.
Okay.
To make it illegal anywhere in our country.
Thank you.
To do aerial gunning.
Oh, thank you.
So our esteemed Our neighbor, esteemed Governor Palin, will not be able to massacre these wolves anymore if this gets passed. So I will be keeping my eyes and ears open for more information about that legislation, and hopefully it will get passed, and then the cruel aerial gunning will be gone and done. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Oh, man.
I hope so. Okay, that is the follow-up department. Now in the news department, well, y'all I'm sure heard about that, the horrible mudslide and on Whidbey Island.
Oh, that was awful. Unbelievable.
I found this there. If you want all the details, yesterday's Seattle Times, the Northwest Saturday section, but Beaver Dam bursts on Whidbey. This was all due to the collapse of a beaver dam, and very, very serious. You know, the raging water and the mud and the trees, and that one house was completely destroyed, and I think 10 or 12 others were, you know, were full of mud and yuck. And there's some interesting information here about beavers that I didn't know. This is on a regular basis, it seems. Nature reminds Pacific Northwesterners of its power, in this case, that of a family of beavers, likely six of them, a mom, a dad, and four youngsters. That's the size of the typical beaver family, according to a professor at the University of Washington School of Aquatic and Fishery Services who's studied rodents. He said a family can build a dam 20 feet across using sticks of willow, poplar, alder, and sometimes rocks and mud. Quote, it depends on how much is available to them. In Canada and Tierra del Fuego in Argentina, he's seen dams half a mile across. He said beavers native to the Northwest build dams to find safety from predators, you know, such as wolves and mountain lions, and to create a good habitat for themselves. That makes sense. They build homes in the middle of a pond, and they store the tasty wood sticks just outside. In turn, the ponds then support salmon and all that good stuff. When beaver dams breach, it's usually because of a structural failure at the bottom. Isn't that... I thought that was kind of interesting, but you would think that maybe there would be a way to keep, you know, who knows? What do you do? Monitor beaver dams to be on top of it when they rupture. Yeah, I mean, that's just, oh. My heart goes out to those folks. All right, on the lighter side here, made the front page of Seattle Times on, let's see, oh, yesterday, huh? It was kind of a slow week until yesterday, news-wise, for animals. Wonderful picture of the Humboldt penguins that are in quarantine at the Woodland Park Zoo. See the Humboldt penguins, Gary?
Look at them. I love them.
Yeah, on the front page. Pretty cool. So, now, they're on the front page because the new exhibit for the penguins at Woodland Park Zoo is almost ready. It says 20 Humboldt penguins gathered from zoos around the country are soon to be stars in the first major new attraction at Seattle's Woodland Park Zoo in a decade. The 17,500 square foot penguin exhibit opens to the public on May 2nd. Now this is, it costs $6.5 million.
Oh. Big money.
You know?
Wow.
You know? $6.5 million for a penguin exhibit. Now, I'm going to tell you what it says in here about how extraordinary this exhibit is, but I still, I cannot wrap my mind around can you spend $6.5 million on a penguin exhibit? I mean, and I just kind of don't get it. All right, here we go. Let's see. The new penguins from 1 to 20 years old arrived March 17th and have been in quarantine, which is an area built behind the new exhibit. They're about knee-high. They weigh only 9 pounds. Naturally flightless, They are an even mix of males and females. They were hand-raised from birth and readily come when they're called to be weighed, fed, or examined. I bet they're just, well, the picture's too cute. Two of the penguins, Radar and Pizarron, were hatched at Woodland Park, but like the others, were flown in from five zoos around the country, traveling in dog kennels. So they must have been hatched here and then sent to another zoo, and now these two were sent back. Says the, and what an exhibit it is, with walls of windows underwater so visitors can watch the penguins swim at up to 17 miles an hour. It includes replicas of nesting cavities and rock scrambles to play in, and the entire exhibit is outdoors. It is intended to be an immersion exhibit that transports visitors to a replica of the penguins' natural environment on the desert coast of Peru with rocky guano encrusted cliffs. Do you think they duplicated the guano encrusted cliffs? I don't know. Let's see. The exhibit was also built to save water and be easy on the environment. Rainwater will be used to refill the tank, and a manufactured wetland will help cleanse the water. The water will be heated and cooled geothermically in deep tanks extending below the exhibit. So all that sounds well and good, but I still just can't imagine. I mean, where does the $6.5 million go? I mean, how can it cost that much? No wonder we're in financial crisis. We need to scale back the price of everything.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Oh, this is another NOAA, NOAA. Toxic chemicals of retardants in Puget Sound. Evidence of toxic chemicals used as fire retardants have been found in all U.S. coastal waters, including throughout Puget Sound. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration report issued Wednesday says, and it's the polybrominated diphenyl ethers, the PBDEs, are common in household items like mattresses, computers, and televisions. And the chemicals are thought to affect brain development and reproduction in humans and animals. You know, you've got to wonder, I mean, mattresses, computers, and televisions, and how do those chemicals get in our water? We have been so irresponsible, haven't we? It says the levels of PBDEs found in samples from Puget Sound ranked in mid-range of those from throughout the country. The highest levels were recorded in California's Anaheim Bay. Still, the report authors say any amount of chemicals is significant.
I think there's a lot more chemicals in the water than what anybody even thinks about.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Well, if you think about the chemicals that are in plastic. I listened to a show on NPR the other day on beachcombing. Did you hear that by any chance, Martha?
No, I didn't.
They were talking about the fish ingesting all these little tiny small particles from the plastics that are breaking down. And this guy was talking about, you know, you can tell on any certain beach how the current has gone. And the most things that they find on the beach are plastic.
Yep, I did see a feature, and I must have been on Animal Planet or something. It could have been on CNN, I'm not sure. But they were talking about, you know, I've reported on it here in Animal World. It's the area kind of out in the Pacific over there that is kind of like whirlpool and gathers all the plastic that's in the ocean over there. And they did an extensive report on that, and it showed how this plastic very slowly breaks up and that the water is full of these teeny, teeny, teeny little pieces of plastic, which are very much like the microorganisms that the great big huge predators, you know, that don't eat other animals, that do the plankton and stuff.
Right.
So that it's just wreaking havoc to everything.
Right. And actually the plankton is feeding on these little tiny pieces.
And then everybody's got plastic in them
out
there.
Right. So
the predictions are going to be true that seafood's going to be inedible. And
boy, that's the truth.
Yeah. All right. Here's another story here. This is out of Seattle Times Monday. Bellingham great blue herons need space. Beautiful photograph of a heron sitting on a nest overlooking Post Point sewage treatment plant in Bellingham. Look at that photograph, Gary. That spectacular herons. They're going to pull up that photo.
I can see it. I love herons.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting. I didn't know about this area, but the great blue herons have returned to their colony at Post Point, a season after suddenly abandoning their young there. Concerned about protecting the birds as they nest in the coming months, city officials are asking people to keep their distance and stay off an illegally built trail that goes through the colony. So apparently these birds require seclusion and privacy to raise their family. And people, of course, are so anxious to see them in this colony and these huge nests and all of that. They've built an illegal trail, an illegal rope bridge and all of this, and they're taking all that stuff out. But they're asking people to please, if you know anybody up in the Bellingham area, really important to go to the legal vantage points where you can see this colony, stay out of their immediate area. Great blue herons are the largest herons in North America. Their wingspans are up to 6 feet. And, they are spectacularly gorgeous. They are on the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife's priority list, meaning they require protective measures for their survival. And the great blue herons return to the Post Point to nest and raise their young over 6 to 7 months, beginning in February or March and continuing to August. There's still a mystery as to why they left so abruptly last year. They think it might have to do with the eagles preying on their eggs in the nest. It could have to do with the cooler than normal air and water temperatures into June last year, you know, due to El Nino and La Nina weather patterns, a third disturbance in offshore foraging areas, possibly by kayakers or kite boarders, may also have frightened them. So it just apparently last year there were no babies survived because they just up and abandoned.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. So it's very important they be protected. And now this is a little bit of good news in the news. This is, if you want the details, Thursday Times. Obama team wants to scrap Bush plan for spotted owl. Woohoo! The Northwest spotted owl has proved to be a barometer of the federal government's changing attitude towards endangered species and environmental issues more broadly. Now there are signs the political climate surrounding the reclusive and rare owl is shifting again. The Obama administration officials signaled Tuesday they want to scrap a controversial Bush-era plan for owl recovery, asking a federal district court judge to let them rewrite the plan rather than trying to defend it against the lawsuits from both environmentalists and the timber industry. So that's good news. Hopefully that the judge is going to say okay and the Obama administration can rewrite that recovery plan. And maybe, just maybe, the wisdom will come through that we need to quit cutting down old growth forests. Oh, interesting article. Monday Times out of Sydney, Australia. Poisonous cane toads killed in Australia fest. And pull up this article. I'm running out of time here and can't go into it, but these poisonous cane toads were imported from South America in 1935 into Australia in an attempt to control beetles, but it didn't work because they couldn't jump high enough to eat the beetles off the crops, and they've basically taken over and wreaked major havoc, so they're trying to get rid of them because they aren't natural, and so they have this big festival where they collect them and weigh them and then humanely euthanize them. So at least they kill them humanely, but it's an interesting perspective. When you read this article, you can see where sometimes saving the animals doesn't work for anybody. You know, that the introductions of non-native species have really messed up the detail. All right. Now, Gary will not do the music because we're out of time. And besides, we've got our sunshine outside. So it's time for the best good news about animals. But the sunshine's already shining. So I'm just going to dive right into that. And this is another good sign from the new administration. President Obama signed a massive lands package into law this week, protecting more than 2 million acres as wilderness and creating a new national system to conserve land held by the Bureau of Land Management. The measure, a collection of 170 different bills, will represent the most significant wilderness law in at least 15 years. Would provide the highest level of federal protection to areas such as Oregon's Mount Hood and part of Virginia's Jefferson National Forest, along with other sites in California, Colorado, Idaho, Michigan, New Mexico, Utah, and West Virginia. It also authorizes the first coordinated federal research program to investigate ocean acidification and additional funding to protect ecologically valuable coastal areas and estuaries. So definitely good news. This is a delightful, heartwarming story. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. Don't have to, but it's out of Rhode Island, and was a wonderful story about a reporter did a story on a man who bought a farm, decided to rescue animals, saved all kinds of different types of animals, and then was being foreclosed on. He did an article in the paper. The community has stepped up big time and started fundraising and donating. And a 98-year-old lady sent in $2, and a little girl brought her piggy bank. And anyway, they're going to save the farm for this guy. They're going to all band together, turn it into a nonprofit so they can continue rescuing animals. And what a great example this little town in Rhode Island is setting for the rest of the country. Woohoo! All right, and the last and the winner of the best good news about animals, this is researchers with a wildlife conservation group say they have discovered thousands of rare Irrawaddy dolphins living in the waters of Bangladesh. Authors of a study say they found nearly 6,000 of the endangered freshwater animals in the Sundarbans mangrove forest and in the adjacent waters of the Bay of Bengal. Wildlife protection agencies say before this study, the only small populations of the Irrawaddy dolphins were known to exist, and they thought the numbers were fewer than 200.
Wow.
Yeah, they found 6,000 of them. Woo! So, you know, it tells us that, you know, maybe when we think that something is close to extinction, that maybe there are still pockets of them somewhere. But 6,000 of these dolphins, that's very cool. So that concludes the best good news about animals. It's also going to wrap up the first half hour of the show. We are now going to go to the most important part of our show, which I have to tell you folks is our advertisers and sponsors. You know, with this economy, it's really tough for everybody, and that means Animal World, too. And the only way we exist is because of our advertisers and sponsors. So please pay attention to who's supporting us. And if you have to spend money on your animal friends, a product, or a service, if somebody is advertising something that you could use on Animal World, please, please support them and spend your money with them and let them know you appreciate their advertising on Animal World. So we'll take care of them, and then we will be back and begin Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, if you've got dogs, you need to know about the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. They also have a great cattery. They are located conveniently right off of 405, just north of the 522 corridor. If you drive the North 405 corridor, keep in mind they have a fabulous doggy daycare center. It's very easy to drop your dog off on the way to work, pick them up on the way home, and then you can kick back and relax. They also do free behavior consultations, obedience classes, and boarding and board and train. So check them out. It's the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. You can call them at 425-486-9567, and that's 425-486-9567, or online at www.aocb.com, and tell them Martha Norwalk sent you.
Founded in 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers classes for everyone, from the pet and horse owner to the career seeker. Classes are available for large and small animal massage, as well as much more. You'll find online and classroom courses, workshops, and enrichment courses. Tuition financing is available. Interested? To learn more, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. Mark your calendar for a one-day Fundamentals of Animal Massage workshop on April 11th and the two-day Animal Communication class on April 25th. Is your website representing your business the way you want it to? Is it using the best the internet has to offer? If your answer is no to either of these questions, then pay close attention. Academy of Spirit is offering a special sale on their website review package. They will help your business grow by bringing out the true spirit of your business through your website. Get video working for you right away. This $150 video special includes their staff reviewing your site and suggesting where and how video and other website upgrades may increase your search engine exposure. Then they will record and edit up to 3 short videos for your website. Bring the spirit of your business to life through your website and do it today. Only a limited number of opportunities are available. Offer valid through April 30th, 2009. Academy of Spirit, your multimedia services resource. Go to academyofspirit.com/special or call today 425-398-8011. That's 425-398-8011.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, we will be out early today at 1145 due to Husky Men's Baseball. And I just want to say, I hope you were listening to the Academy of Spirit special. They've extended it for a month, and if you have a website, if you're trying to market anything, having little video clips on your website, it really gets you up there in the search engines and makes your site so much more appealing. And boy, they sure are offering a great deal. So take them up on it. It's the Academy of Spirit. And you can go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com. Find links on the homepage to any of our advertisers. And I hope you will do that. All right, we are going to get rolling here with Vet Sunday in just a moment. Dr. Al Pleckner will be joining us. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Dr. Bernie Bleem from Illinois will join us. I want you to know that the phone lines are now open. And the Animal World Prize Closet is also open. We've got the Wagon Tails Liver Cookies and Treats. We also have copies of Dr. Al's book, Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, The Breakthrough through Endocrine Immune Balance Program. So we'd be delighted to give you a copy of the book or the Wagon Tails Liver Cookies and Treats. So here are the numbers. Write them down. And even if you don't want to call immediately, write them down. So when you're ready to call and get your animal and human medical care questions ready, we will take your calls anytime. Local number 425-373-5527. And I'm going to apologize because I feel a sneeze coming on, but I think I'm going to be able to work my way through it. But if I'm sounding a little weird, it's because I'm having a sneeze in my nose. Okay, local number. Here, crack it up. Well, never mind. 425-373-5527. Long distance within Western Washington is 888-298-KKNW, which translates to 888-298-5569. And of course, you can send us an email with your questions, comments, or whatever when we're on the air to our live email address. It's pretty simple. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Make sure if you've got questions and you want to send them via email, be sure you get them in soon enough that I can get them and then get them on the air. So without further ado, let's welcome back to Animal World, Dr. Al Pleckner. Good morning, Al.
Martha, how are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Hey, we got some sunshine up here for the first time in a long time. How's the weather in Southern California?
California, yeah, it's sunny down here too, and up at Orofino at the Timber, it's sunny now too. And
that would be your place up in Idaho.
Exactly. So it's sunny up there too. So hopefully.
Wow, we got sun everywhere. Woohoo! We're on a roll.
Except back east, I guess.
Oh, back east? No,
the Midwest,
so much,
I guess they're having all kinds of problems.
Well, that's true, yeah. All right, yeah. Well, we'll be grateful
you
for
bet.
What we've got going here. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Obviously, you are the author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies to for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program. And you kind of through trial and error and your own study, private study and research in your practice over the last 40-plus years, you discovered this endocrine immune imbalance. It's now being referred to as the Pleckner syndrome. And you were retired over in Idaho. That's why we talk about that property, rehabbing the land and working with wildlife when your book came out back, I think, in, what, 2003?
Yeah, I think it's 2003.
Yeah, the fall of 2003. And since then, though, there has been so much demand for what you're doing, you have made your way back to California and are back in practice.
Right, correct. And still doing consulting, worldwide on this stuff, because there's just, the interest is finally starting. I mean, there are alternatives to, suffering and dying.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we will be talking about this endocrine immune imbalance and other related topics. But Dr. Al is a veterinarian in private practice, and he, of course, can answer and address any animal medical care questions. So your question does not have to pertain to the imbalance. If there's something going on with your animal friends medically and you want to know about it, that's great. This endocrine immune imbalance, the Pleckner syndrome, does apply to dogs, cats, horses, and humans. So, human medical care questions are fine as well. And I'm curious, in the practice that you're in down in California, you work with just dogs and cats in that practice?
Yes, mainly dogs and cats, yeah.
Yeah, because I know Dr. Bernie from Illinois, he's been he does all kinds of animals. And he's
right,
even
that's
been
what he called, pocket critters.
Yeah, he's even been applying the Pleckner syndrome type stuff to other types of animals. And we will have him on later in the show. But I'm just wondering how the practice is going down there and what kind of cases and stuff you've been seeing lately.
Well, I've seen a lot of chronic cases, if you will, that, have been treated the same way for a long, long time. Kind of showing them a new way without, offending the old way. You know
what
I'm saying?
Like chronic cases of what type of
skin problems, bowel problems, asthma, horrible asthma. I had a cat that you couldn't even believe. I couldn't believe the cat was still alive breathing.
Really?
And after an injection, IV, the cat started to relax, and I saw it again two nights ago, and the cat is perfect, but has to be on the cortisol that's deficient in that's allowed its immune system to attack its lungs. I mean, unbelievable stuff.
Wow.
We've got to look to prevention. No one's seen this syndrome creeping into the genetics of our animals and our people. Whether it's genetic or whether, in fact, it comes from the environment through toxins, through tainted water, through estrogens from natural sources, so on and so forth. So anyway, it just hasn't been put together as a meaningful syndrome. It has been years ago. It's just that, most of this has gone against deaf ears where they just won't listen. And if it hasn't been taught in school, it can't exist.
Yeah, well, let's get the explanation out of the way so anybody that hasn't heard this before knows what we're talking about. You got out of vet school, 40-plus years ago?
Yeah,
and
like my son said, 1866.
1866.
I think it was 1966. No, Dad, we know you, okay?
1866. Okay, that would be a record. Anyway, you did not just accept the standard treatments for certain conditions, and you wanted to know why certain things worked and what was going on. And in the course of investigating all of this, you discovered this basic endocrine immune imbalance, and it does apply to dogs, cats, horses, and humans. You found out over the years, and you seem to like my explanation, so I'm going to go through this.
I really do.
First of all, one can have this imbalance either genetically, as you said, you're born with it, or it's acquired sometime during the life, and it could be related to toxic exposure or stress. situation, or it can be a result of old age. And for whatever reason, the adrenal glands, which we all have, are either A, not producing enough cortisol, or the cortisol they're producing it is defective in some way. And by the way, this cortisol business is what makes your work controversial, because most of us have heard that, of course, cortisone is bad. And we've not been told at the same time it is a natural hormone that our body needs to have in the right amount and healthy cortisol in order for us to be healthy. Isn't that right, Dr. Al?
Absolutely right.
Yeah. So at any rate, for whatever reason, the adrenal's either not putting out enough cortisol or the cortisol's defective. So the body doesn't recognize it and respond to it appropriately. As a result, it's the middle layer of the adrenal gland that spits out the estrogen. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's the middle layer of this, the adrenal glands then that start making estrogen. And this is kind of what's been missed by human and medical science up until now, is that it's this adrenal estrogen. Most of the time, the medical community is focused on ovarian estrogen, and we relate estrogen to women, the female, but that's not the case here. This is ovarian estrogen, and that's why this imbalance can happen with males or females, spayed or neutered. It doesn't matter, because it has nothing to do with ovaries or testicles. It has to do with adrenal glands. So this, the estrogen, when this estrogen gets high enough, it interferes with the ability of other hormones in the body to work correctly, primarily the thyroid hormones, and it binds them, if you will, which it kind of means it just ties them up and keeps them from working. So if you see a big estrogen hormone with its arms around the thyroid hormones, then you can't go to work. That's kind of what happens. And then that's the regulation of the metabolism and so forth. So the antibodies deplete, and then after that, what happens and what manifests in the patient seems to be pretty individual. And as Al's book said, from allergies to cancer, it could be any of those things. And it can be physical health like allergies, inflammatory bowel disease, gum disease, bladder disease, kidney disease, liver disease, seizures, you name it, all kinds of stuff. Or it can be behavioral. Extreme and irrational fears and aggressions also relate to this imbalance. So Dr. Al has created a specific blood test panel. We call it an EI1 test. It is done by a veterinary lab in California. Unfortunately, most labs in the country don't run this panel, don't know about it, can't do it, but at least there's one lab doing it now. And so the syndrome can be diagnosed, and then there is not a cure necessarily, but there is replacement therapy. And the replacement therapy is not intended to replace other normal treatment for a situation. It just regulates the basic endocrine immune system, which makes everything else work better. Does that kind of encapsulate everything?
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, what isn't looked at real quickly is that as that estrogen level climbs and the antibody production decreases, once that antibody in the gut is below a certain level, then anything given orally, for the most part, won't work. And as the estrogen levels increase, estrogen as another side effect causes inflammation of the lining of all the arteries in the body. And it kind of gives people a thought that, you know, maybe this is where coronary heart disease comes from. Maybe this is the early inflammation in the arteries that causes deposition of lipids, fats, if you will, and calcium. The ramifications are phenomenal. It's just that they've not looked.
Yep. All right. We're going to take a time out, take care of our very important advertisers and sponsors, and then Vet Sunday continues with Dr. Al Pluckner. We'll talk more about the syndrome straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Wagon Tails Liver Cookies, healthy, handmade treats for your dog that offer a heart full of love in every bite. Wagon Tails Liver Cookies are made with only the highest quality human certified ingredients that come from a local meat market and restaurant supply companies. They never use byproducts, wheat, corn, soy, or products with hormones or antibiotics. And dogs absolutely love them. Go to WagonTailsCookies.com to order this fabulous treat and read the heartwarming story about Willow, the inspiration for Wagon Tails Cookies.
Canada Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest standard of excellence for product quality, palatability, and customer satisfaction. They pride themselves on making only the highest quality, all-natural pet foods using the finest ingredients available. All of their products are made the Canada way with superior quality in every bag and can, with no corn, wheat, soy, grain fractions, fillers, or byproducts, and they're naturally preserved. Discover for yourself and your pets the benefit of feeding Canada and Feel-A-Day all-natural pet foods. Go to www.canaday.com for more information.
The live call-in show of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis has moved to Wednesdays at 1 p.m. So you can now get your free on-air readings with Metaphysical Mother and Divine Channel Robin Alexis at 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. Robin helps countless people from around the globe to live fuller and more conscious lives. So call her for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio Sundays at noon and Thursdays at 8 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I'd like to talk to you about Robin Alexis. Although I liked Robin right away, I was skeptical at first. But let me tell you, that was unwarranted, and now I believe that Robin is the real deal. Often referred to as the metaphysical mother, Robin's a spiritual empowerment coach with incredible gifts. Robin's a medium, ghost and baby whisperer, medical intuitive, past life reader, animal communicator and channel. In addition to being a radio and TV personality and author, she's also a Reiki master teacher. Simply put, Robin is amazing. I know because she's been helping me incredibly on many levels. Robin is nurturing, powerful, and did I say phenomenally gifted? Robin can help you too. Her books and personal one-on-one phone readings can change your life forever. Let Robin help you heal and release those blockages so you can experience life more fully. To schedule a reading, go to robinalexis.com, and while you're there, download a free copy of the first two chapters of her new book. That's robinalexis.com, or give her a call at 360-457-2993. That's 360-457-2993.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, we will be through 15 minutes early today. We're out at 11:45 for Husky Men's Baseball. Gary, are you calling the game today? Dr. Al, you'll appreciate this, because Dr. Al, Gary's leaving a few minutes early because he gets to go do baseball today. So are you on the voice on the radio today, Gary?
I will be on the radio, yeah. And with Steve Sandmeyer.
So you and Steve Sandmeyer. Yeah. So y'all can stay tuned to 1150 KKNW and hear Gary after the show. So
yeah.
Be like old Tom Week.
I know.
All right, so Dr. Al.
Yes.
We are talking about the Pleckner syndrome, the endocrine immune imbalance that you've discovered and have written about so extensively. And by the way, folks, if you want more information about this, you can go to Dr. Al's website. There's a ton of information there and a whole bunch of articles on the subject. And his website is drplechner.com. Oh, and I want to let you know, the prize closet is open. We are giving away copies of Dr. Al's book, Pets at Risk. We're giving away Wagon Tails liver cookies, which are so phenomenal. And we will be entertaining your phone calls throughout today's show. So the phone lines are open. Local number 425-373-5527. And long distance within Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And you can shoot us an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Now, we just explained the basic endocrine immune imbalance and what that's all about. Now, we've talked a little bit about mentioning some kinds of the diseases and so forth that are associated with this, and then we started to talk about treatment. So once the blood test panel is run and we know that there is the imbalance, the treatment varies a little bit depending on who and what it is, right? I mean, dogs get a different treatment usually than cats, and that's different than horses and a little different than humans,
yeah,
right?
There's species variation, you bet.
Species variation, that's the term I was looking for. So it really is, though, a pretty simple protocol. In that, like, for example, with dogs, they need to get not only the cortisol supplementation, but they also need thyroid. Whereas if you're talking cats, they tend in most cases just to need the cortisol. But you're talking horses, in most cases, they just need thyroid.
Correct.
And then if you're talking humans, they're kind of like dogs, and they need thyroid and cortisol, but when the thyroid's concerned, they need both the T3 and T4 supplementation for humans. And then with some patients, and is this correct? I would say most often with dogs, and then secondarily I'd say humans, food allergies and sensitivities are very much a part of this imbalance and affect what's going on. Is that also true, Dr.?
Yeah, they're all secondary. The food sensitivities are all secondary to the imbalance. And the shame of it is, as people try different foods and the patient has the imbalance, patient system becomes allergic to or reacting to that food, then they move on to something else. And you finally see sometimes some patients that have been through the gauntlet of food, and there's hardly anything left on earth, even after you correct or control a mechanism, that they can eat. Because once the immune cells get locked into that particular food antigen, if you will, purging the system does not help. Well, they often say, well, you know, don't eat beef for 3 weeks, and then you can eat a little bit. Usually once your system is cleared and you do that, you get a worse reaction than you did if you hadn't stopped eating the beef.
Now, it's interesting. That's interesting because I've been following some human news reports. I don't know if you've seen these. It's been mostly on television, news features, about a new treatment they're experimenting with children that have peanut allergies. You know, that peanut allergies, of course, can be really critical and life-threatening for these children. But what they're doing is giving them minuscule amounts of peanuts every day. And the reports I've seen are then the children seem to build a tolerance and then are able to eat peanuts, but they then have to have some every day. So have you seen any of those reports on those studies and what they're doing, Dr.?
I haven't, but, you know, they're exactly like, you know, when you go in and you get allergy injections.
Right.
What they're doing is they're injecting the pollens, et cetera, into your system mm-hmm. in a subclinical amount, like they're feeding the children a subclinical amount of peanuts. And what the feeling has been for the past probably 50 years is that what happens is if you can get the patient to develop blocking antibodies to these problems, they won't have the problem. So what they're really doing is they're trying to desensitize the kids with subliminal amounts, subclinical amounts, if you will, of the peanuts. And that's exactly what allergy injections are set up to do.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And if it works, great. I hope it does.
All right. Now, we're going to take a time out from our discussion, Dr. Al, because we've got a caller waiting, and we want to honor our commitment to taking phone calls as quickly as we can. So let's go to our first caller today in Tacoma, Diana. Welcome to Animal World. You're live on the air with Dr. Al Pluckner.
Thank you. Doctor, I recently put my Sheltie Misty on Deramax, and I was wondering, and that's for arthritis.
Okay, wait a minute. You have a Sheltie named Misty. How old is Misty?
Misty is 9.
9 years, and you put her on a medication called Deramax?
Yes, it was prescribed by my veterinarian.
And that was for arthritis?
Correct.
Now, Dr. Al, do you know what Deramax is?
Yeah, I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't used much of it. I know what it is.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Well, so you know what it is, and it's for arthritis. So go ahead, Diane.
Well, I'm wondering if medications, particularly Deramax, cause any imbalance issues.
Ah. You mean, could they cause this endocrine immune imbalance?
Yes.
Well, what do you think, Dr. Al?
I think that's a good question.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest with you, I have not seen a problem with the Deramax doing that. What I do see is that the arthritis many times is secondary to the imbalance. So the imbalance is already there, and what the Duramax, which is the cause of the arthritis, what the Duramax is trying to do is treat the effects of the imbalance. If that makes sense.
Did that make sense to you, Diana?
Sure. All right.
You know, that generally arthritis could be lumped in that from allergies to cancer, remedies for an epidemic, that arthritis does tend to happen in patients who have this imbalance. So the fact that your Sheltie has arthritis is a good indication that she probably had the imbalance already. So that the Duramax would not necessarily cause the problem, but I'm assuming that she must be having, is she having some other problems since you started this medication?
No, I just started, but I'm oversensitive about medication issues.
Well, yeah, I don't blame you. I am the same way, too, but what you're going to find is if it's really not a very invasive type of a supplement, and it does work for the patient. It's kind of like taking a leave. You know, hey, if you get good results from it, I'd rather not take anything. But I know for my arthritis, sometimes I have to take a few things. And I look at natural, you know, supplements.
Yeah, there's some other supplements too, Diana. There are two that I really, really like that work very, very well for arthritis in dogs and arthritic symptoms.